Hello. All right, legacy members. Let's get y'all in. Let me get all my little toys all set up. I got to see the chat and the Q&A. And let me promote Coach. Oops. Hang on. I'm going to get the chat and the Q&A. I'm like, close my windows. Let me get Coach Misha up, and then I'll start calling on people. Excuse me. Oh my gosh, I sound like a TB ward. All right, Liz, you're up first. We'll get you going. Well, hello.
Hi.
Hey, you have to tell me, do you still have your job?
I do. Yes, everything is good. Like, it's really awesome.
Okay. You know what I want to say.
I know. No, everything's great.
What did you learn through that though? Like what is the most valuable lesson you learned? So let me just give everybody a window into what we're talking about. I launched a program last year, a beta, that I didn't know if I was going to do it again. I haven't reoffered it, called Project You. It was a 12 week where only 150 people got to work closely with me for 12 weeks. And Liz, we worked on a lot of things, but the big thing that was going on the whole time was like from almost the moment we started until we ended, she was just didn't know she was going to get laid off. And so the whole time she really struggled emotionally with this.
Oh, yes.
So what did you learn through that process now that you're on the other side and nothing you thought came true?
Well, I learned that I catastrophize so much and that I really caused so much of my own suffering through that time, where if I would have just been like, it's a possibility and let me just live my life, let me just keep moving forward. But like, I got just like totally sucked in. I had so much fear and I just let that like completely overwhelm me. And actually somewhat of my experience in Project You, I mean, it was good to be able to be in that program because you really helped me get through that. And I felt, you know, a lot better. But in like looking back, I'm like, man, I wish I would have been able to look at that and experience that differently. But I was in exactly the right place I needed to be to get all the help that I needed. So I was, I'm
what,
glad
what
that
can
I was
you, like, but there. What can you carry forward with? Because I think it was very valuable that I agree with you. I think it was great that mm-hmm. is exactly what you worked on all the way through Project You. And then you got to see like, oh, wow. Like so much of what I think is going to happen never happens.
Right. And then I create scenarios and I'm like, what if? And it's like, I can go down that rabbit hole, like on anything, you know,
oh, yeah.
Just like, oh my God. So yeah, I mean, I just really saw that, like, yeah, I mean, my thoughts just really got control of me. They really, really did. And
so it's good to know, like now, like whenever you feel like your thoughts have a grip on you, you can always go back to that and be like, see, this is like that last time.
Yep.
I think my thoughts have a hold of me. And what's really happening is probably I just need to calm down every single time and remind myself, I really don't know what's going to happen. So between now and then, I can live a little bit more peacefully and handle whatever happens.
Right.
All right. So what did you want coaching on today? I just had to know though, because like the second I saw that name pop up, I was like, oh, I hope that's my list. Because I really want to happen with that job.
Yes, it was me. No, everything is great. Everything has been amazing. So I'm really happy there. What I wanted to get coached on today is, you know, I've been getting a lot of help with trauma. I've been working on my OCD and anxiety. I'm in private coaching with Coach Julie. I'm doing all of these things. I bought a ticket to go to camp in September. I purposely booked the hotel so I could go early. I'm like, I really hope they have VIP. I want to be a part of this. So I do all of these things, right? And then all of a sudden I'm like, I should probably sell my ticket to in-person camp. I should probably stop coaching. I should probably stop this. There's something in my head that's like, and it wants to use the excuse of like, oh, you should save money. And I'm like, you don't have to save money. Like you have the money already allocated for that. And
so what is the problem though? So your brain is just having normal thoughts. And then you also have like, and we're okay. What's the problem?
The problem is that there's a lot of times in my past where I've just done that. I'm like, I'm just going to stop doing this, even though it's
but
something.
Who cares? Who cares what you did in your past? Like, I just want you to think about this. You also in the past catastrophized. You've now learned like, oh, I don't have to do that no more. Like if I catch myself doing it, I can just stop that.
Yeah. I think it's because it's been swirling around in my head and I don't want to just make the, like, I want to like help walk myself through that instead of trying to convince myself that that's the right thing to do.
Okay.
Like,
Then
oh,
what
I should.
Right then, but let me see. Let me just say.
Okay.
Then, like the way you're talking about it, this is what's always interesting to me. You're bringing this, like, these thoughts are a problem. Why are they a problem? Instead of just like, I just noticed these things and I also still want to go to camp. I notice I want to quit coaching and I still want to keep coaching.
Yeah.
Why are they a problem?
I think because I know I'm going to go in the past, but in the past, I've just been like, I'm doing it. And then I feel really sad. And I think I'm just bringing old things I've done in the past into this. And I'm like,
so that's a good realization.
Huh?
So that's a good realization that you're like, I love it when we go to our past because you have two options with your past. You can go to your past and you can say, this is how I've always done it. And that means this is how I will do it. Or you can say, I'm so glad I know that this is what I've always done in the past. And I don't like that outcome. So I'm going to do it differently this time. Good to know. You get to decide. Like, the problem isn't that these thoughts are happening at all. The problem is going to come in. Are you going to catastrophize the thoughts? Or
hard.
Exactly. Like, it's like, oh my God, you know, I should just react to them because I mean, here they are.
Right.
Or are you really learning? And I think this is like, you wouldn't have brought this if you aren't learning.
Right.
Like, I'm really learning. These are the patterns of my brain. This is how my brain talks about things, especially like, I just want you to think about this. You know, the only reason why your brain is questioning coming to camp and working with Julie and you should stop all this.
The reason why I'm really questioning it.
Yeah. Do you know why your brain is wanting to question it? If you had to like come up with a hypothesis, like why would my brain suddenly kick up like all of these things? Like you should just quit this. You should quit this. You should quit this.
Because I'm moving out of Eeyore land into a place of like, into happy land. And it's uncomfortable for my brain. My brain's like, wait a minute. Like when I think of myself going to camp, I am like dressed. I have on my fucking lipstick on my hair. And I'm like, I can't wait to walk up and give you a hug. I can't wait to give Coach Julie a hug and Betsy and everybody else. And just be in that mode. Like I can feel it already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your brain is like, wait a minute now. Come on, we're in Eeyore. What is even happening? You're too happy.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's like, let me help you out for a moment. Let's just take it down a notch.
I know.
And that is the way all brains are. And you know why I think it is? And you tell me if this doesn't resonate, we'll dig into your unique reasoning. But this is what happens for me. I'm just going to tell you, Liz, you're in good company because I get coached on this almost every fucking week. Like, I would love if this would quit happening, but it just doesn't. I have this irrational fear that if I am happy or if I just let go of worrying about something, that somehow the worst outcome is now going to happen and it's going to surprise me. Like, I literally have this irrational fear. It's like, but if you don't worry about these things, then you would never do anything positive for it. You wouldn't work towards your stuff. And then everything's going to go to shit. And then you're going to be sitting there like with egg on your face. Like, see, I told you, should have been worried about it. this wouldn't have happened if you had just been like feeling terrible the whole time. You wouldn't be so devastated. And none of that's true.
Yeah. And I think for me, it's like, I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like when I'm happy, I'm like, well, something's going to come and just completely take this away. And
this is why, and I'm just going to tell you, the shoe is always going to drop. Because that's life.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing goes right in life.
Yeah.
It is always day after day of there's like a string of things that go right. And then we have to have the ability to, when shit hits the fan, to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, what has been probably the most peaceful thing is like me worrying up until the moment the shoe drops just makes from point A to B really miserable. But if I know like shit is always going to happen, but from A to B, I want to enjoy the ride. I want to do the best I can. I want to set myself up for as much success as possible so that when B happens, I can deal with it. There's no sense in just being miserable the whole time, because I think it's a lot of times people will say, just believe everything's going to work out. That's very hard for me as a human, because I know things don't just work out in life. Like life is just like a roller coaster. There's just ups and downs. That's the way it is. You don't know if you're going to get laid off or not. I don't know if like, I mean, just like COVID, like we didn't all know we were going to be shut-ins for like a year or two.
Right.
You know, I mean, no one, but could you imagine if we had been like, well, you know, in 1912, the world was, that was like the last big, you know, what, I forget which flu, the bubonic
plague. I think it's a Spanish flu.
Yeah, something like that. It was killing people, whatever. And then they made people stay, you know, hunkered down or whatever. Could you imagine if from 1912 until 2020, if we were all taught like, you know what we really should do? We should be worried about worldwide pandemics and everybody dying. Like whatever you do, don't leave your house, because you never know when the next pandemic's coming.
Right.
We didn't live that way as a species. We had to like live like normal. So let me ask you this. When your brain wants to say, I think you should sell your ticket, and you probably for sure should quit working with Julie and stuff. How do you want to be with yourself in that moment? Because right now what we are is freaked out and paranoid about it.
Oh, totally. I mean, I would just like to ask myself, like, why? Like, I never ask myself why. I'm just like, you're right. I should do it immediately. Let me go and email support right now. Like, I want to be able to like take that breath and go, okay, that's interesting. Like, why? Like,
why are you feeling the urge to not do this when you're
right.
looking forward to it also?
Yeah. And I've been looking forward to it since I bought my ticket. I've just been like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be so much fun.
So why do you think you're wanting to not come?
I think I take experiences away from myself, either from a self-worth standpoint. You know, I still haven't lost weight. So I'm like, oh no, if I'm gonna be out in public, and then I'm just like, is that like, are you really going to live? Like, what if you never lost the weight? Are you just really going to stay at home for the rest of your life? Like not living your life and having fun and seeing people. So
it's going, I don't think that you're realizing that's happening in your brain, because it's like I'm sitting here trying to figure out how to find like what is the thought that's really killing you, and I don't think you have one. Your brain is naturally arguing for the other side. Where is it? Well, I'm gonna tell you, Project You, it was not. That brain was dug in, like it was like, no, I have cemented my feet in place. Like I made sure that like I was never gonna give you any wiggle room, Corinne, on there could be anything else I could think about this. And now when I question you, you're just, it's like your brain wants to toggle. It's like, well, it thinks this, but I also know this. That's exactly where we want to be for all of you. The sweet spot isn't that I sign up for camp and now I'm just like raging the whole time. Like, yeah, I'm going. The sweet spot is knowing that if any time you start doubting something that you know you want to do, that your brain can argue for why you're going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. It's also like, oh, what if you get stuck on the plane somewhere? What if this happens? What if this happens? I'm like, I can't predict the future. Like, right. I'm trying to like rebuttal and the voice gets louder. It's like, oh, now you should quit private coaching and now you should quit the gym and now you should, you know, it just keeps going and going. And I'm like, dude. And I listened to your last call and sometimes I'm like, fuck it, I'm eating. I can't. And then other times I'm like, you're not selling your ticket. Everything's going to be okay. In this moment, that's your decision and we're moving on.
Yeah. Just keep doing that. I think what happens is the more you just keep doing that, you just kind of keep toggling, that voice will quiet down. It's just insecure right now. I think the insecurity is being born out of one, it's still tied to my weight defines whether or not I get to do things. Like if my weight is not where I think it should be, then that means this can't happen. This shouldn't be happening. You don't deserve this. Like a lot of times our brains just love to do that. And that's where your work to continue to dismantle. There is my weight. And then there's my life.
Mm-hmm.
I may not like my weight. You know, I may like sometimes inadvertently tie it to things, but they really don't go together. Like, mm-hmm. I just want you to even think about this, how it intellectually makes no sense. Like, where your weight's too high. So the things you should for sure cut out are all the things that would maybe help you lose weight one day.
Right.
And it's like, okay, that makes no sense.
Right.
But my brain is just accidentally tying it together.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just, I still have like residual stuff when I was younger. You know, I got made fun of a lot, that type of stuff. So my brain's like, remember that, right? Like, how can you go out? People are going to say something to you. I'm like, I can still tell you, nobody has said anything to me when I leave my apartment and they see me walking. No one's like, you know, nobody's done that. But I go to leave my house and I'm like, it's today's the day it's going to happen.
Yeah. And then, so that's one way that you can like kind of dismantle that. Is let's just imagine somebody did. Like, have you just even went there and said, all right, someone like says something horrible to me. I go outside. I go outside to take care of myself. I go outside to do a walk and whatnot. And then I meet an asshole. I finally meet somebody one day. It's like, who am I going to be for me in that moment? Have you decided or have you just said, then I would feel bad?
No, I've actually like envisioned myself telling them to fuck off. Like, is this your life? Like, this is how you're going to live your life going around trying to like make other people feel like shit. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I envision myself. Like, sticking up for that little girl that didn't have that.
Then when your brain wants to do that, you have to say like, hey, we've already talked about this. We mm-hmm. don't even have to worry about it. We will defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I couldn't defend myself when I was little, but this girl can.
Right.
And like, so like, it's, I think for you, like you're, I can just really tell you've been working hard since Project U. I mean, your energy is so 1,000% different, number one. But it's that continually reminding yourself of who you are now. This is who I am now. Like, I understand my old insecurities and stuff. So once you think, your brain is literally just trying to protect you. It's like being made fun of hurts. And so if you're going to go out, I'm so afraid this is going to happen. So I think you should stay in. That's the solution. And now you're just teaching your brain. It's like, look, it's different than when we were kids. Now I like the best thing for me is to go out and live my life. And then if somebody says something, then the best thing for me is to not make it mean anything about me, to make it mean something about them.
Yeah, because when I leave,
that's who I'm becoming. Go ahead.
Right. No, I was gonna say, because when I leave very like scared and on guard. And I'm like, can I just leave like free flowing? And then if it happens, then at that moment, I know I can stand up for myself, and I know that I will stand up for myself where I couldn't do that before.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to flip that too. Like, I don't want to leave stressed. I want to leave in a good mood. Like, hey, I get to go out. I'm going to go get coffee, or I'm going to go see friends, or I'm going to go to the gym, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to go sing, or, you know. And so I think it's also transitioning, and my brain's like, oh no, you got to be angry all the time. And I'm like, I don't want to be angry all the time.
Yeah. I think you're doing exactly what you need to do, which is your brain is giving you everything that it's always given you to protect you. And what you're now starting to show your brain is like, I love you, but I don't need near as much protection anymore. I'm figuring out the world myself. And because I've figured out so much stuff, like, I just want you to, I want you to imagine like all these thoughts now. Like, I don't even think for you to call them old shitties. I think for you, it'd be really powerful to be thinking about, this is my brain's way of protecting me. And I'm showing my brain that I don't need protection anymore. I used to need it because, like, I used to be my own worst enemy at times. Like, I had all these things happen, and then I was my own worst enemy. It's no wonder my brain thinks it needs to protect me. And now I'm really showing it, hey, I'm changing. I've grown. It's okay. If you like, and I also like, in order to be the brave person that like, or the person that goes out one day who's just like, this is just what I do, and I don't think twice about it. That means there's probably 300 walks where you walk out the door brave, because you're like becoming that person. You're doing it sheer will. Like, no, like, I deserve to go outside as scary as it can be for me. Like, it takes all of those things before your brain can actually calm down. It's like, okay, you've shown me so many times this is okay. I don't need to worry about this anymore. And you've talked to me enough, and you've done this enough. Now I can finally kind of release this. And I think it's starting to, because I always think the first stage of release is when you say one thing, but then your other side of your brain kind of comes flying in and says, but wait, we're also doing this over here now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess sometimes I don't recognize it, because it's still like beep, 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 like peeping, where this is like, you know, and I, you know, hopefully eventually this will become the peep, and this will
it
be.
Will. You just have to keep doing it. All I care about is, can you at least get there to where you can have the old thinking and you can bring in the new? Like, the first phase is like, get aware of the old thinking, like hear it and be like, okay, that's that thinking. Next is that thinking comes in and the peepee voice comes in, like, because it doesn't have to be loud to be heard.
Right.
You ever like, here's a good example of this. You know how like a lot of times you'll have the TV on and every commercial is just kind of loud, and they all like, it just, when it's all loud, then you don't really hear it. It's like background noise, right? Then you'll have it like every time there's a commercial where there's dead silence, I always look up and I'm like, what's going, is the TV off? Did something happen?
Right, right.
Like, the quiet things sometimes are the very loudest. They get our attention. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to be as loud as this one, but them coming into the newness of them coming in the room, they might as well be yelling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the next phase. Then the next phase is when, like, the old thoughts come in, the new thought comes sweeping. It's like, yeah, yeah, but that's not what we're doing. And it just feels like, it's almost like the old thoughts now are like a nap. It's like, you kind of need to knock it out of the way, but it doesn't make you stop. You know, right. I think I equated it the other day. I don't know if this was with y'all or if I was on a business call and I was coaching someone. It's like your old thoughts in the beginning, when you're first hearing them, it's like a wasp. You're like, oh, that's a wasp. Oh my God. We, you know, like, we're so busy and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Then it kind of turns into a bee. And then the next thing you know, it's just a gnat where you're just like, and then you just move on.
Right.
You know? And I think you're like, you're kind of still in the bee stage. You're not in the wasp stage, but you're definitely in the bees. It's like, well, I don't want to get stung.
That's true. That's true.
But I also don't need to run in a sheer panic. Because I always think wasps were the big danger bugs. I mean, I've seen my son, my God, he's been wasp stung 3 different times. Worst ever. Stung by a bee, unless you're allergic to bees. not as big a deal, but then wasp stings, I mean, whelps. I mean, oh, poor Logan. But now I think we just want to get you to where it's just like, okay, I will probably forever have scary thoughts, things, you know, whatever. I'm like everybody else. This is going to be my flavor. Because even if you lost all your weight, you're still, your brain is probably going to talk you into like, well, I don't know. You're so thin now. I don't, people will probably judge you for being thin.
Yeah. It totally, when I was thinner, it totally did the same thing. Like I look back and I'm like, it always has something to say.
When we know our brain always has something to say, then we don't have to catastrophize it. But when we think our brain shouldn't be saying these things, then we start catastrophizing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything else?
No, that was it. I was just like, it's just started to get really loud. And I was like, please don't do it. Like, that's why I wanted to jump on and get coaching. Cause I just wanted to not stop in its tracks. Cause I know I can't do that, but just to help myself and, you know, and just keep envisioning like what it would feel like. Like, that's like a big thing for me. I'm like, what is this going to feel like? Like, how is it going to feel to like be there and experience that, you know, being there, right? Like, just experience everything, the people, the getting to see you walk out, getting to just, I experience that at home, but I'm like, I'm sure in person, it's just like,
it's off the chain more. In person.
I'm sure as soon as the music starts, I'm going to be like, you know, my superpower. I'm going to just start.
Oh my God. I'm the same way. Like when I'm behind the curtain, before I come out on stage, the moment my theme song drops, like it starts playing, I like literally am holding back tears. Like it makes me, especially on day one, it is so hard for me. That's why I always tell everybody, I always know I'm going to cry when I first come out on stage. Like I might make it through 30 seconds, but like, I think the longest I've ever gone is like a 1 minute. And then I start bawling. It is just so exciting. And I have a friend who's in the membership. She's known me since, like, she was one of my first clients. She was one of the first seven people that signed up to work with me back in the day. And she hadn't been to a live event since we were doing them in a gym, like sitting on floors and stuff. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, wow, this is exciting. Y'all really do stuff. Like, I told you it was different than our gym days.
Right.
So, this is what I would love for you to do. Because I know you journal. I would like for you to write about why it's okay for me to have these types of thoughts and my commitment to myself is this. And like, you decide, like, my commitment is I am going to that camp no matter what thoughts I have. Like, that is my commitment. If you want to stay coaching with Julie, it's like, my commitment is I will be coaching with Julie. Like, this is what I'm going to do despite these thoughts. Like, commit to what it is that you really want, but then make peace with like, this is why it's okay to think these things.
Mm-hmm.
I think just like really continuing to normalize those old voices, the more they're normalized and the more they're like not a big deal, they just don't have the authority. They don't create the fear. Because once they become normal, a normal part of your life where you like, I know they're normal and I'm going to be doing this anyway, but then we don't have to sit and worry like, but in the past I did this. I'm so afraid I'll do this. It's like that energy goes away.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank you. Good seeing you too.
Bye.
I just gotta tell y'all, that was so exciting. I would love, like, if we just even had a screenshot of Liz's face now versus Liz's face in Project U, you would just see how, like, I don't know. It's just a very happy energy. Like, or I don't, kind of happy, but also Liz, I would say the energy I'm seeing in you is like, you look like the person I think you wanted to be back in the day. Like, Karen Brent was in our group. She's like, I didn't even recognize her. If you were in Project U, a lot of you watched her calls. Like, was it like, I am not shitting anyone. Very different energy. So good. All right, Tony. Hey, Tony.
Hello.
What are we coaching on?
So I will just say that I've been with you since 2019. And I actually joined.
Can I interrupt you? That picture behind you, I love it. It's on your mantle. Oh,
thank you so much.
Like as you were talking, I was going like this, like as if I was going to be able to peer over your head.
Thank you.
But go ahead.
So I have been with you since 2019. I joined you actually for maintenance.
Okay.
And I've been maintaining at 80 pounds. Sundays are my Bryn Crabtree days. So I always listen to the Sunday calls. Oh, I have never been coached.
Okay.
So what I need coaching on is it's really like a work issue. It's not a weight loss issue.
Okay.
I am trying to get to the thought that I have this. So just a little bit of background. I'm the CEO. I'm an attorney for a nonprofit religious congregation. So I work with a group of nuns, sisters.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yes.
No, I'm Catholic.
So, and average age is about 82, if that gives you some kind of idea.
Okay.
And recently, I'm working with three different provinces that are merging together and have been pretty much directing that along with some consultants. And I have pissed a sister off, is all I can say.
Okay.
And have basically been told, you're no longer going to be a part of this steering committee. Okay.
Okay.
But I still have my job, which is an amazing job. I make an incredible salary. I have like total flexibility. I truly love my boss, who is a sister. We get along great. We work really, really well together. But I'm trying to make all of that okay.
So what is wrong with it? Why can't we just let that lady be mad? Or that
I feel like I can totally let her be mad.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to like justify my actions to someone who really doesn't understand what needs to happen.
Yeah.
But it's like, why do I care that I have been removed from the table is what it feels like.
Well, tell me why. Why do you care that have you been removed from the table, first of all?
Like, well,
is that like 100% true?
So I have been basically, yes, it is 100% true.
That you're not on the steering committee.
I'm no longer on the steering committee, but with the caveat that I have been asked to be a resource and to do special projects, which I've agreed to because I want the experience of having done the work.
So you're not removed from the table.
Well, I am to the public view. So like to my staff.
That's very different, but I want you to think about this. I've been removed from the table versus I care publicly because people will see what I'm contributing.
Yes.
Okay. That's the thought we want to work on.
That's it.
Because like, if you didn't care what everybody thought, you wouldn't be sitting around thinking that you're still contributing. You're still getting your experience. You're getting everything you say you want, except public accolade.
Yes.
Okay. It's good to know that that's the real problem.
Yes. I didn't realize it.
That's why we like to talk about these things, because then we can kind of dig around. And say,
yes.
Because like, it's real easy to think like, oh, like, you know, there's this injustice. And it's like,
yes, like
really, I'm getting what I really want out of this, except for that one piece.
And it's not accolades. It's like I feel like I have been disrespected and not valued for what I'm not going to be.
How are you being disrespected?
To basically work in the shadows. To contribute in the shadows.
You're not working in the shadows. What you said is, I want the experience. I want these things. And in order to get that, because of what's happened, you agreed I would do this part. That's not being in the shadows. Like, you think it's being in the shadows. Instead of thinking like, I agreed to be a part of this project for the experience and for all this other stuff. This is the way to be able to do that. I'm getting what I want. I mean, you are, right?
I am. I agree to
it. What is it that you really want? You just want what? If it's not like accolades from the public, what is it that you're like, what is it that's bothering
you? I want to be,
you're not
I want to be
get?
At peace with it.
Yeah, but what is going to bring you peace? Because right now you're saying the only way for me to feel peace is for other people to know that I'm working on this.
You know, yes.
Because that's, yes. I mean, the only thing I've been able to uncover is the only reason why I don't feel peaceful about this motherfucking decision is because no one else knows my contributions.
Yes.
Why is that so bad?
I don't know.
Well, that's what we got to figure out, or you're not going to be at peace.
I know. Because like other people, like I have a colleague that's like, I would never have agreed to continue to work on this privately. Like that's not fair to you. You shouldn't, you know. And I have agreed to it because I feel like, you know, even though I'm going to be 50 this year, I am very still like young in my career. I have a long time to work still.
Yeah.
I want this experience.
You're calling me wrong.
I want to stay at this job, right? I want to stay in this position. Because I could very well say, well, screw you. I'm just going to go find another position. I don't want to do that.
Right. You have all kinds of reasons to feel at peace.
Yes.
But Grin, that's you're what... hanging your hat on, but no one else will know my work.
So...
But you're going to know your work. It sounds like this colleague who's putting a buzz in your ear about how awful this is, they obviously know your work too, or they wouldn't even be giving you this advice.
True.
So you're not exactly in the shadows.
It's true.
And this other person is 100% wrong. Like this person who told you that this was unfair, they're wrong. It's very fair because when you said, I'm going to be 50, I'm still young in my career, I want this experience, and this is the way it's going to go down. I mean, unless there's like the only other avenue to feel peaceful about this, if there's an actual way that you can get back on the steering, like if you want to be like, no, I got to be on the steering committee, if you can change the circumstance, then you just change the circumstance.
And you know what, Corinne? I would not even change it.
Then that's what we need to be telling ourselves. It's like, look, I wouldn't even change it if I could. It's not even worth it. I am getting what I need out of this. It would be yes. Nice. Like, and to even say, like, maybe it would be nice to be on the steering committee, but that's not going to happen.
Yes.
And that's okay because of all of these reasons now. Like, it's okay to be a little disappointed that you're not on it. But what's happening is all of these great reasons and all these things that could be peaceful to you, they're getting ignored because you're gonna be like, well, I'm working in the shadows. It's not fair.
It sounds like I have listened to a million of your calls and people often say, it sounds so ridiculous when you say it. And like, it does. Like when you say it, it sounds so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. So now so, your brain wants to think it, just say like, look, that's ridiculous. The sister is just pissed. Like, I'm not going to be on the steering committee, but I will be steering it.
Yes. Well, see, that's the thing, Corinne. That's like the total thing is that I am still like very, very much involved with it, but yeah. It is like not publicly like it. Yes. Everything you've said.
But here's the thing. I want you to think about this. How big of a shit would you be giving? Let's say that every day you were just like, what she don't know won't hurt her. I'm the one that's really behind this. I'm going to be getting all this experience. This is going to be great. Like, this is going to help my career. Here's all the things. You know, I've got 20, 30 more years doing this. In like 10 years, I probably won't even, I don't even know if I'm going to remember this chick's name. If you're going to be like me in my 50s, I was trying to tell Jane something that I did on Friday. I was like, Was that Friday? I don't even know. I can't even hardly remember what I did Friday. So, well, these injustices were likely at our age. We won't even remember them in a year from now, a week from now.
And I think that that is absolutely true, because I think about all the other times that I have felt like the injustice, the disrespect, and none of it has mattered now in my life.
Not a
right.
Little. So I want you to think about this. If you were just in a space of like, she got her way, like publicly.
Yes.
But I'm actually getting what really matters. I'm getting the experience. I get to be influential in this. I get to do all this. And I notice, like I notice it. Then how much time and energy would you be given to the other side?
Probably not much at all.
Not much at all. The reason why you want other people to know so bad is because you don't even give yourself the space to know how valuable you are right now. You're just only thinking it's not going to matter because no one else will know. And it's like, I have coached thousands of people on stuff like this. If you can't be proud of yourself behind the scenes, you wouldn't even be proud in front. It would be a temporary blip. If you were on the steering committee, let's just say you were there, but the whole time you were just like, I'm not sure if I'm doing a good job. I wonder if this experience will even be useful. Like, it would be real easy to be in that space too and still not feel at peace.
True.
So maybe this is a divine intervention for you to figure out, like, how do you be a big deal in your own mind and not need other people to think you're a big deal?
And also, I think, like, why do I care about that at all?
Well,
why do I have this feeling like other people have to know?
Well, tell me why. What would be the benefit of other people knowing?
Well, I guess knowing the influence I have, knowing the, you know, piece of like, well, maybe we need to check this out, you know, with Tony or whatnot. But it's also like, I feel like I'm fucking 50 years old and I feel like this is like petty.
What part's petty?
Like feeling like I need to be so involved. Like feeling like I need other people to know.
Yeah, I don't think it's petty. I think it's normal human behavior. Humans want to know they fit in. And when someone has said, you can't be on the committee, that's just like saying back in caveman days, hey, we're all going to sit around the fire and eat the food and you're going to have to stand on the outside. Nothing for you.
Yes.
Like you can go hunt for our food, but you got to be out in the cold and you don't get to eat. And it's primal.
Okay.
Us to want to fit in. That's why we kind of go back to what we were saying is you already fit in. You just haven't given yourself credit. You think the only way to fit in is if everyone sees, and you're fitting in by being able to still do the work. Still fitting it, like people still want your input. They want you steering this. They just probably don't want to cause more shit with an angry ass nun.
That's exactly right, Bryn.
Yeah. So it doesn't have anything, like it sounds like to me, a lot of people already know the influence you're going to have and stuff. It's just Tony doesn't. And pissed off nun won't.
And pissed off nun won't. That's right. That's right.
But if I had to guess, nuns are gossipy too.
Oh God!
They all live in those combines.
What the convent, the community
convent. I can't believe I was calling it a covenant. Yeah, and they all talk, and
yes,
they all get back to her that you were involved. So I don't think you need to worry for 1 ounce. Like this sounds to me like the only person right now in the room who doesn't know how influential you are is you.
Yes.
Well, then let's just work on that. Let's not worry about her. Let's not think that we're being petty. It's like, this is good to know. Like, it's good to know that I get to figure out how great I am and how influential. This is going to be a really good exercise for me to not rely on what other people say or think about my work. This time I get to rely on my own opinion. And I get to stand in that. I will just tell you, it is always more fun when other people love what you do. It makes it easy. Well,
yes,
but it
and
doesn't
I will
help
just,
us love what we do.
It's true. And I will say, like, my boss, who's a nun, sister, has said to me, like, when this whole thing went down, was basically like, you just need to sit tight. She's pissed. You know, you stepped in shit, that kind of thing. And like, let's just let this simmer down. Like, I totally feel valued by her, totally feel appreciated by her. And yes, I think I was just using language like the shadows.
Mm-hmm. When it's just not, and that's what's important, is look for when you're telling the story, how you're telling it to your detriment, instead of telling it where you're strong, where you have your authority, where you have your power, how this works for you, not against you. It's really important, because it's so easy for us, like for all of us, to be like, well, that nun, she shouldn't have so much power. She shouldn't hold a grudge. Well, that doesn't help us grow as a human.
It doesn't.
Blaming somebody else. It's like, she has her own thoughts and opinions. Whether they're right or wrong, who gives a fuck? But like, if you're going to do this, let's do this in a way you get to come out feeling as good as you possibly can. And spending time on, like, I'm in the shadows and stuff. I'm always like, there is always a way to rewrite the stories. Now, that doesn't mean that your brain won't want to keep going back there. You just have to keep reminding yourself of, like, what this really is about. This is like, when my brain wants to make this a big deal, this is really about me being worried other people won't know my contribution and other people won't know how valuable I am. So before I spend a lot of my emotional energy on that, maybe I should remind myself of my contribution and my value. That will make me feel more peaceful than anything I ever do. It'll make me feel more peaceful than anything anybody could ever even say to me. Okay.
Okay. This has been extremely helpful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hey, you got to tell me this though. Did that nun, your nun friend or your boss, did she actually say you stepped in shit? Did she use the word shit?
She did.
I love it. I know there's like, I used to have a priest. He used to, I knew him. And every now and then when we would be like together, every now and then he'd like whisper a dirty word. He'd be like, you know, we're not really supposed to say that, but... I just thought it was so hilarious.
And I will just tell you I've been working with sisters since 2018, and they are very amazing people, but people would be very surprised. They are very human.
Yes, they're human. Like, good Lord, they're all human. We are all human.
We are all human.
That is right. We're never escaping that part. All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
All righty. Bye bye. Kristen. Nuns are human too. That's going to be our quote of the day. Nuns are human too. Y'all, it's like that Kathy Hartman. You know, she cusses sometimes. She won't say that F-bomb hardly. She actually has. I remember one day she said it in front of me. And it was just me and her. And I got so mad. I was like, son of a bitch, Kathy. I can't believe you said the F-bomb. No one's going to believe me when I say you said it. Oh, all right, Kristen. Or Kirsten, I'm sorry. What do we got?
Yeah, Kirsten. So I think what I'm missing, because I'm very willing to try level ups, to do things. I'm very willing to try. I think the piece of the puzzle that I'm missing is assessments. And like everybody else, I've got a really busy life. I own and operate a grooming business, and my husband and I farm full time. So basically, we've got two full time jobs. And because farming is the way that it is, it changes from season to season, day to day, week to week. I'm really struggling to come up with a way to make assessing consistent.
How long does it take you to assess?
If I sit down at night to watch TV, I'll do my daily assessing, and that's, you know, a few minutes. Okay. I think the piece that I'm missing is more like the weekly assessment to see what kind of impact my small changes have made.
How long does that assessment take? Have you tried it one time just to like?
I have. Okay. Honestly, it probably takes me about an hour. Because
which assessment are you doing that takes an hour?
I think it's not the assessment itself that is taking a ton of time. It's the thoughts that come after, right? Okay. So, you know, this did work or didn't work, and where do we go from here?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Oh, that's good to know, because this is what I want to find out. I'm trying to figure out this full hour that you're spending, because I've never designed a worksheet to take an hour. That's why I'm confused.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I'm like, which one are you using? Do we have like some kind of something from 2015 lingering?
No. And it's not that the actual assessment takes that much time, but I do an assessment and then I kind of break down what works and what didn't. I've spent most of my life about 180, and I've lost almost 40 pounds, and I'm back at that 180 range.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm stuck because I try level ups and like, I feel good. And then life gets in the way, and mostly I forget.
When you say life gets in, all right. So I forget, like, what do you forget?
So for example, let's say, I'm trying to slow down at supper time, 'cause that's my overeat time. And if my goal is to put my fork down between bites, if we are, you know, I know that we're going to be, you know, heading out or rushing out to go work with the cattle or getting some equipment to do farm work, I forget to put my fork down because that's with everything.
Let's take that one specific example. Okay. Because a lot of times if we can break down one thing, the lesson of it, then it just kind of applies. It's like a domino effect, kind of applies to everything else. Why does it matter that sometimes you have to rush and you can't put your fork down? What if you were only putting your fork down and using that experiment on days when you weren't rushed? Would you not learn the same thing?
I would learn the same thing.
So what's the problem if you have to miss a few days because it's cattle time and you're like, you know what? This is a day where we're rushing. I don't have time to put my fork down. I'm going to do that on days I'm not rushing.
Because I forget to come back to it. That's why. Because I forget to come back to it.
Do you forget to come back to it? Or do you have a story that if you can't do it every time, you've messed up, and then now I don't have time to do things?
No, I genuinely forget to come back to it. Genuinely. Okay. And then when I have a few minutes to go back and, you know, do my daily assessments and look at what I did through the week, I was like, oh, right. That was the plan this week. And I just forget about it.
Okay. So what stops you from picking it right back up the moment you realize you forgot it?
Nothing. And I do.
Okay. I don't understand the problem then. Where are we having a problem?
So I think the problem is that I make changes and then they drop off because I forgot about them because we've been busy, and then I come back to them.
Yeah.
But the amount of time that I have not done them is more than the time I have done them. So I'm not seeing the results on the scale. Because I'm not seeing, right? And I don't beat myself up about it. And I'm not permissive.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how to find more consistency.
Is the problem like time? Like, I think you keep trying to tie this all to time. And like, I try a level up, then I have a busy season. Is it that, or is the problem I'm overeating?
Oh, 100%. Like, okay. 100%.
Yeah. I don't think this level up thing is an issue, because most level ups aren't going to always be consistent. We're going to try things. We're going to do things. Some things will work and become a habit. Some things won't. Some things we will do sometimes. Like, we'll level it up for a little while. We might notice that we can't do it for a while because this level up now doesn't fit in this season of life. Like, I have not heard anything over there that's stopping you from losing weight. I think that's what's stopping you from losing weight. So you're spending a lot of time and energy on, I'm so busy. If I could just put my fork down every single time, I would bet you the scale would be going down.
Right.
But tell me why the scale's really not going down. Because there's a lot of people in the membership who lose weight and never put that fork down one time.
100%. And 100% it's overeating. And my level ups are based around trying to prevent or slow down.
All right. When are the overeats?
My overeats will be 9 times out of 10 in the transition time from work to home, and then at supper time.
Okay. The transition from work to home.
Yeah. So why are we eating? Because that is my come home and start supper. And I have started incorporating rest, because I have identified that rest is what I need. Okay. And so when I stop and actually sit down or lay down for 15 minutes, then I tend not to eat. That's not always an option every day. So those days tend to be the days that I will snack and graze while I'm making supper, and then not hungry at supper and then overeating.
Let's talk about so we already know we have a solution for the days you can lay down and rest.
Yes.
We do not need to worry about that. So we want to just keep doing that as many times as we can. Then we're going to have days we cannot lay down and rest. So we have to be able to make dinner without grazing. So now what are we going to do?
Not sure.
Well,
I don't
graze. Because we can't lose weight. So if we can't graze while we're making dinner, what are you going to need to be willing to feel while you're making dinner when you're not grazing?
Uncomfortable.
Like what kind of, why would you be uncomfortable? Thinking what?
That I can't eat that, or that I shouldn't eat.
Right. So we're thinking about it in a way that makes us uncomfortable.
Right.
Is it true that you can't eat?
Oh, of course not.
Right. So why would you tell yourself? Why would you lie? Because this is the thing I want you to listen to yourself. Here's what I'm going to tell you. This is what I say. I can't eat. When I know the fucking truth is I could graze all the way through this meal. Yeah. So it's not true that I can't eat, but I'm telling myself I can't. And that makes me feel uncomfortable. And I already know this is one of the days where I actually would like to be laying on my ass and I can't. So not only am I not going to feel rested, but now I'm going to talk to myself in such a way that drives up discomfort. No wonder I'm eating. It isn't because I'm not willing to feel discomfort. It's because I'm making myself so fucking uncomfortable.
Right. Right. And I find it interesting.
I tell you what you're going to have to feel.
Okay.
Patient for dinner.
Yeah. Willing and willing to wait.
Not uncomfortable. Willing and patient. Like, hey, we don't need to eat. Dinner's coming. Hey, like, I'm willing to wait for dinner. And it sucks. Today's not a day that I can lay down.
Right.
Like, if we're going to feel uncomfortable, let's feel uncomfortable, but not be able to be laying down. Let's not feel uncomfortable because we're telling ourselves you can't eat.
Right. Right.
So what were you going to say?
I find it's interesting that I am so willing to, can I just, or you know, let's try this today, or like that type of, those type of thoughts.
Yeah.
But in the afternoons, it just is, it's so difficult for my brain to go there as opposed to nom, 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 nom.
Well, I'm glad that you're shocked. I mean, I love how y'all always are so surprised. It's like, it's so like, why is it so much easier to just eat shit I like than it is to sit and reason with myself about my future wants and desires for happiness, when in the moment, all I want to do is go fucking lay down, but I can't because the cows are calling.
The cows are calling. Yes. That's, yeah, that's like, what my husband's like, doing today.
Yeah. But this is what I want you to see. Like, even just having this layer of judgment of frustration,
right?
You're frustrated that food is easy.
Yes. Food is like, easy.
We want to be aware that food is easy, not frustrated that it is, because your frustration is driving you to the food. You thinking it should be like, what is it supposed to be like on a day when you're tired and you're cooking dinner and you know you got to go work after that? Tell me the scenario that's supposed to be happening. Like, how are you supposed to be feeling during that time?
Like, willing?
Like, in your, yeah, like when you think, like, this is how I should be feeling, tell me what that is.
Not frustrated, not tired, not.
So you shouldn't be tired, even though you've worked all day. Now you're cooking dinner and you're going back to work. But girl, you shouldn't be tired. I mean, come on. We should be like, what? What should we be? What is the, what should you be feeling instead of tired?
Grateful.
For what? Listen at me. I'm like, like opposite of tired though. Like when you're saying I shouldn't be tired after working a full day, cooking dinner, no time to rest, and I know I've got to, the cows are calling tonight, and you're saying, but you shouldn't be tired. What should you be feeling? You're thinking, well, like, well, this is an opportunity for gratitude. That is not the time for gratefulness. You're not going to feel grateful that you have to keep fucking going, that you can't take a break. That's a big leap, right?
It is. It is.
So that's one of the problems that we're having right now, is you don't even know what you're supposed to be feeling during that time that's actually reasonable. Most of us, what we do during these times is we have such unrealistic expectations as to how we're supposed to feel that we don't even question it.
Right.
That's like telling a mom, you have kids?
No.
No kids? You have
no kids. I have a bunch of cows though.
Right. Let's say, now I don't know much about cows, although I love cows. It's so funny that you raise cows, because I've always told Chris, one of my dreams is one of these days we're going to own a house with just enough land where I have one pet cow. I love cows. I just think they're the most peaceful fucking animals. But let's say your cows are acting like asses.
Yeah.
They're not doing what they're supposed to. Maybe they've got some kind of weird virus running around. I don't know. Like, whatever kind of cow drama you would have.
Okay.
All right. So imagine cow drama. And then your thought is, well, when the cows are not behaving and when they're dramatic and all these other things, I really should be very grateful to have them.
I am grateful to have them, but not in that moment, because then you're just mad that the cows are being stupid.
Exactly. So in the moment when you're tired and you can't have a break and you've worked all day and now you got to go take care of some cows, don't you think it's kind of stupid to think in that moment you should be practicing gratitude and you should, I guess, not be tired? I'm like, I think it would be fucking normal to be tired. To say, I would rather you be standing in the kitchen going, Kirsten, you are absolutely tired. And this is a day that we're not going to be able to get the break that we need. I get why you want food. You're just actually really tired, and you kind of deserve to be tired. It's normal to be tired.
Yeah.
But it is normal. It's not going to fix it.
You're still going to
be
tired
even if you eat. You just won't be thinking about being tired. So I just invite you to think about being tired. Because I think right now you're trying to push that away.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, my God, I am tired. I do a lot. This is just the way it is right now. I just don't want to eat over it anymore. And so I'm going to eat my dinner. I may even have to rush through my dinner. And if I do, then I should serve myself a little less today.
Yeah.
Or I need, like, if I have time to put my fork down, I will. If this is one of those days where we got to just serve and grub, it's a serve and grub day. So on serve and grub days, like, I know how much to put on my plate. And then I'm going to go do my work and do the next things. And then, like, if your brain is like, well, what if you get hungry or whatever? You just say, like, I will deal with that after the cows are dealt with. I'm not dealing with thinking about those thoughts just yet.
Yeah.
I'm already tired. I don't need to tire myself out with worrying about what might happen later.
Yeah. I've gotten really good at telling myself that hunger is not an emergency and actually believing it. Like that is one of the most powerful statements that I've learned in this program is hunger is not an emergency.
I think now we just have to tell ourselves, like, being tired isn't an emergency either.
Yeah.
It's also
not a bad thing. You know what? It feels like an emergency.
Yeah. Like, there's just like, there's days I have to work when I'm tired. And like, you can even just tell yourself, I don't even have to. It's just, this is the life I have.
Yeah.
And there are days, like, this is why I think it's really important for all of you that have situations in life. And I understand this. I almost posted this on my Instagram. So y'all know I'm a big Orange fan. Like, I live and breathe the UT Vols. And I was so devastated. I have not seen the men's basketball team play in person. And we were looking forward to this trip, all the things. And they never even had a lead. Like, they just blew it from the first minute on. And I told Chris, I said, I don't know how it is. I can run two fucking companies. Plus, we own a restaurant. We are an on-the-go couple. And I said, being a UT fan is the hardest job I've got. Like, kicks all of it in the ass. It's devastating to be a UT fan. So the reason I say this, though, is I have worked on this so much around when you sign up for a life that's busy, you are going to be tired.
Yeah.
And you are going to have times where it's all going to feel heavy. And you just have to remind yourself, this is normal. This is not a reason to eat. It's okay to be really tired right now. My tendency is to eat through it so I don't have to think about being so tired. But the other side is we do not put unrealistic emotional expectations on ourselves either. That will tire you out more than anything. Thinking you shouldn't be tired, you shouldn't have urges, you shouldn't want food and stuff. That's the real exhaustion coming in the room. That's more than just the physical exhaustion of showing up for life. That's the emotional exhaustion we put on ourselves. And I think we always feel better when we just tell the truth. I'm tired. And it's okay.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to take care of those cows. And if I graze, that's not going to, like, I'm not going to take better care of the cows doing that. That just means I'm not going to take good care of me right now.
Yeah.
What else comes up? Anything else? Like, I don't think this is an assessment timing issue.
I agree with you. I would love to spend more time assessing in general, but I think you're right. It's not, it's an emotion management issue, not a assessment issue.
And it's more like, I would love for you to think about this rather than trying to find out more time to, I guess, sit and do long assessments and stuff. Think about, how can I assess in the moment in my head? Like,
right.
That's the most valuable assessing any of you are ever going to do, is in the moment assessing of, what am I thinking and feeling right now? What's really going on here? Let me assess the situation. I'm making dinner. Do I really need to eat anything when I know dinner's fixing to be here?
Yeah.
I may want to eat, but I'm just going to wait. Like, this is where you can insert a, can I just wait until dinner's ready? And then when dinner's ready, if this is like a grub and go meal, can I just like make a smaller plate? And then when I'm done with my cows and stuff, if I notice I'm still hungry, then I'll deal with that then.
Yeah.
I'll know the difference between emotional and physical hunger. That's the real assessing I want you doing. I want you doing the on-the-go assessing that doesn't take time. Especially the time you've got, you know?
Well, and that's just it. Like, yeah. It's, you know, my husband hates me when I say we have more money than time, but that is the God's honest truth. We have more money than time. I have delegated a whole bunch of tasks to people who are better at them than I am, and I pay them money so that I can make better efficient use of the one thing that you can't make more of, which is time.
Right.
So, you know, being able to, you know, remember to assess and let go. Any suggestions on how to remind myself to do that?
The easiest way to do it is to be thinking about, like, whenever you do have downtime, like, you know, if it's like today, like when you're on a call and stuff, if you were to take that time and you just look at your patterns, like,
right.
The best way to remember things in the moment is you kind of have to visualize those moments, and you have to think like, okay, what is it that I'm normally doing? Like, what are going to be the environmental cues? What are going to be the like action cues? Like for me, if I'm eating, let's say I'm eating something I really love. When I notice myself hurrying, that's my signal. Like, oh, I'm probably getting ready to overeat. And so like I visualize myself eating and being in a hurry, so that when the actual event happens, I can catch it.
Right.
So like spending a lot of time just noticing what you're doing and being like, okay, good to know. Like, even if you can't stop it in the moment, because like, let's say it happens unconsciously, like when you're taking care of the cows, like, I don't know how much you have to think when you're doing it, but if there's like activities that you're doing when you're doing your farming and your work, a lot of times we're doing things that we don't need to necessarily concentrate.
Yeah.
We could just do them. That's when you kind of like let your mind go to like, okay, I just got through eating dinner. What's a good thing for me to remember? Like, is it the pace that I eat? Is it this? Is it that? Is it certain foods? And you start kind of visualizing that moment, and then you visualize yourself then doing something different, and you just tell yourself, okay, so the next time I see myself eating faster, or the next time I see myself grabbing things, like next time I catch myself standing in the pantry with the chips and I'm eating them, that's a good opportunity to say, roll up the bag, you had a few, you're probably good, let's stop.
Yeah.
You know, like before we even get to the point to where we get to where we stop the actual eating of the chips, even just saying like, where are all the intervention points?
Yeah.
You know, just knowing I'm eating chips. Because a lot of times what will happen is you know what you're doing when you're doing it. Yeah. You just don't want to admit it in the moment because you're too busy. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't be doing this. Well, all right, I'm just going to go ahead and eat chips. I just don't have time for all this assess. You know, this weight loss thing takes so much time. You know, I'm a busy person. So your brain starts thinking all these other things so that you can keep eating. Because now it's like, it's justifying what you're doing. But you noticed it. So it's not that we're not noticing it. It's like we notice it and we immediately go into judgment. So in order to not feel bad, we start justifying. So we're not judging. And I'm like, all right, we just want to notice we're doing it. And we want to tell ourselves, good, I'm glad I caught this. I'm like, there's one Cheeto left in the bag. Let's just throw it out. We don't even need this anymore. And we don't need to eat the last one. It'll be fine. Like every time you do that, then you've cut out justifying. So we're not having that conversation anymore. And then when we do that, we're like, all right, this is how we won this time. And then when you're doing like your cow work, then you would say something, then you would kind of go through it in your head and say like,
yeah,
wonder if there was a place where I could catch it earlier next time. What are things that I could notice about me that helps me like in the moment be aware? Because in the moment, you're going to be operating from habit. And the best way to break habits is to, when you're not in the moment, to think about them and replay them in your mind with different scenarios, different possibilities. Because every time your brain is real funny. When you visualize something, it doesn't know if that's real or not.
Yeah.
It thinks visualization is real. That's why so many of us, we spend so much time visualizing worst case scenarios and all the ways things could go wrong and all the bad shit. And that's what, how we end up getting into those situations, because we have mentally rehearsed what we don't want. And then our brain is like, oh, so the moment I get a whiff of this, I need to go down that path, because that's the only mental rehearsal you ever give me. That's why it's important to do the other version too.
No, that makes total sense. And absolutely something that I can do 100%.
Yeah. There's a lot of things like a lot of times when I'm getting ready, when I am, a lot of my work is sitting and like actually creating. So I don't have a lot of opportunity to be able to kind of do it then. But a lot of times, like we'll be watching TV and there'll be like a boring part or a commercial. And then I use that opportunity a lot of times to just kind of think about like, what do I want to do tomorrow that's different than today? Like what got in my way today? And how could I do something different tomorrow? I do that when I'm blowing my hair dry. I do it when I'm brushing my teeth, when I'm just getting ready, when I'm folding, like if I'm folding clothes and putting them away, if I'm loading and unloading the dishwasher. There's like all these things that, that we all have things we do that are so routine, and we don't even capitalize on those moments. Is that's when some of the most powerful thought work can be happening. It does not always have to be pen, paper, a candle, and a quiet room.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. And I'm Thank so glad you. You have cows. I seriously, that is like my spirit animal. I'm just like, before I die, I'm going to own a cow. And it's going to be just those creamy colored cows. Those are my favorites. I just think those cream colored cows are just so beautiful.
We just had our first calf of the season this morning. So
it's
game on now. Yeah. I'll send some pictures on Facebook.
Oh, have to, because we have so many cow pastures in our area. We live way out in the country and we drive by them, and there's nothing better than when the baby cows are being born, because they'll just frolic. Like you don't ever see a cow really frolic, but
they do. They do frolic.
Well, I never.
Well, generally they frolic when you like open them up to a new pasture, and then they all run and are very excited, and they buck and hop, and it's funny. But yes, otherwise they just eat and poop. That's all they do.
That's usually what I'm seeing. They're just sitting around eating. Now, one day I did drive by one pasture, and I told Chris, I was like, it looked like a cow lawnmower. There was like four cows. They were all standing next to each other, and they were just walking and eating like together. And I said, it literally looked like a cow lawnmower. I was like, it's the most amazing thing I've ever witnessed. So, all right. I got to get off this cow conversation.
All right. You have a good day.
Replay, you're like, man, that Corinne, she really can ramble. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, everybody, that is it for today. I actually have a call starting in 10 minutes. I'm glad I looked at the time. I was like, oh, shit, I got one more call coming up. It's for It's for my business membership. So it's not on y'all's calendar. It's a different calendar. Y'all have a good one, Legacy. I'll see you next month. And just have a strong week. Just get it in your mind. Like, what is it? Like, what can I learn from this call today? And what can I do this week? Like, I love the idea for y'all to be thinking about, how can I assess, like, on my feet? How can I assess in the moment? How can I do more assessing that way and not make it so much about, like, I love sitting and writing. I think that's wonderful. But how can I do it in such a way where it doesn't always mean I have to, like, sit down and have a total paper experience? I can be doing some of this in my head, especially legacy members. A lot of you probably can do this in your head way more than you give yourself credit for. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.